Thank you, Chris, for the opportunity, as always. I always appreciate it. Not many pastors would share the pulpit. They get nervous. two things. I have two caveats before I start this morning. Number one, I'm a little fired up about the sermon. So as I get into it and I get a little more Pentecostal-y, I'm sorry. I will talk fast. So you might have to read my lips or ask me what I said after the service, okay? Because I talk fast anyway. So you all in the front row or up where I can see you, if I'm a little fast, try to give me one of the, you know, hey, thank you, Bob. There you go. I'll look at you. I'll be looking over here all the time. Make sure. Take it down. Take it down. All right. And this message is for me as much as it is any one of you. None of this is preaching at anybody. This is what I received, and Lord told me to share it because other people are going through similar things or have similar problems in their life or whatever. So I'm not preaching at anybody. We're all in this together. All right? Go and open up your Bibles to Matthew. Sorry, I don't have any slides. I hate technology, so there's no slides today. Matthew 28. Matthew 28. We'll be reading 16 through 20. You know, one thing I do want to say is we just don't do holidays, right? We really don't. Like, the celebration, Easter should be, like, the biggest holiday of the year, right? It's what our whole Christian faith is founded upon. And we still go to work on Friday. Like, I had to work on Friday, and I was so angry. It's the first time I ever had to work on a Good Friday. Honda got rid of it as a holiday, so whatever. So I was very mad about that. But and other things with celebration we just don't do right, like weddings. Like, normally in other cultures and other countries, weddings last for days or a week, and it's this big celebration. In our culture, we're lucky to get people to stay past dinner, right? We just don't celebrate hardcore, you know? I think Easter should start on Friday, and it should be constant until today. I mean, every day should be a celebration, right? I want to start with that because I just think Easter should be a bigger deal than it is. We make a big deal out of Christmas, you know, and hunting eggs. I don't understand the whole Easter bunny hunting egg thing, but whatever. Okay, let's go to Matthew 28, 16 through 20. Most of you will know this passage. We're going to break it down a little bit. It's called the Great Commission. But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. Theologians think it's probably Mount Tabor. No one really knows. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some were doubtful. You'll notice not one, not two, some, plural, were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I command you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Now, you can find similar passages. You can find it at the end of Mark, Mark 16, Luke 24. It even touches on it in Acts 1, the Great Commission. I chose Matthew because I think it's got some good points in it here. But we're going to be focusing in on 19 and 20. You see, final words are important. And these are Jesus' final words before his ascension. If you've ever looked up when a celebrity dies or some athlete or something dies, what was his final words? You know, or even your family member sometimes, what was the last thing they said? Jesus left us with some very important final words. And a lot of times it gets glossed over. It really does. It's the Great Commission. Yep, I've heard of Great Commission. Yep, go make baptize. Cool. But you see, today, even though it's a day of great celebration of our risen Savior, and it's a wonderful day, and it's a day we should be excited, we should be pumped up, my question for you isn't about today. My question today is, what are you going to do tomorrow? Easter's a wonderful day. Easter's a day of our risen Savior. It's what our entire faith is based upon, is that our Savior died on a cross for our sins. He rose again, and he will come back someday. That's what it's all based on. But what are we going to do tomorrow? Are we going to get up and it's going to be another Monday, another Tuesday, another week, go through the motions of a week, go through a month, go through 6 months, wait till Christmas to get excited about Christ again? What are we going to do tomorrow and the next day and the day after that? Because you see, it's a commandment. It's not a question. It's go, therefore, and make disciples. And that's a highlight right there, disciples, not just lead them to salvation. Disciples are followers of Jesus. Discipling is a process, not just a conversion. All the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We're going to be doing some baptisms later today. That's great. That's a wonderful start. Teaching them to observe all that I command you. Where do we find that at? In here. And I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus will be with you every step of the way through the Holy Spirit until he comes back again, is what he has promised. Is he really the Lord of our lives? Is he the Lord of our life? If he is the Lord of our life, he is the first thing in our life. That's what Lord is. When you lord over something, you are the most important. Is he the Lord of our life today? So what I want to say, what I'm going to preach today, the whole message is it's time that we start pressing in. Now, what's press in mean? You've heard Chris use that term. What's it mean? To me, pressing in is it's time to be on fire for God. It's time to be on fire for God. It is time to read our Bibles intentionally. It is time to pray fervently. It is time to fast. It is time to go to Bible study and to really seek what the Lord wants in your life. It is time to go to praise and worship and Sunday school. It is time to press in because there isn't time not to. There's a world that is lost and sick and dying. There's not just a world that's lost, sick, and dying. There's people in your families. There's people in this church. There are people in our communities that are lost, and they need answers, and it's time that we have the answers. And if you're doing those things and you're pressed in already, amen, go disciple someone else and teach them how to do it. When I started teaching Sunday school, one of the first things I pray for, that I prayed for and I pray for all the time is, who's going to be next? Who's the next person that's going to replace me? Because I want to start trying to show them what little knowledge I have and to share it with them and to make them a better disciple. I told you I was fired up today. So I have stories. And I know stories sometimes. Sarah even told me, don't tell too many stories, but I'm sorry. It's just what I have. So I told you I was fired up today. I was fired up today because there was a promise made to me almost exactly 9 years ago. And what happened was Ellie was born. Yeah, April 9th, 2015, Ellie was born. And at the time, I was a temporary employee. Sarah was a substitute teacher. And we had nothing. We hadn't been married a year yet. You know, it was okay, we have a baby now. And I'm the youngest child. I've never been around kids in my life, let alone little girls. Like, this is rough, right? So they had taken her down to the nursery. Sarah's fast asleep after being exhausted. And I am up literally sweating and pacing the floor because I looked at the bank account and realized, we have pretty much nothing. We're like $10. What am I going to do? How am I going to raise this little girl? How am I going to take care of my wife? And I was pacing the floor back and forth, back and forth. And, you know, God didn't give me this crazy answer. I didn't feel from the Holy Spirit this long, elaborate thing. You know what he told me? He told me, show her, meaning Ellie, my word. Show her me and my word, and I will do the rest. He didn't give me the financial answers. No, he did later, and he's blessed us very much, and we were very grateful for that. But in that moment in time, he didn't address that. What he addressed was, show that little girl me and my word, and I will do the rest, because that's what really mattered. And I get to baptize that little girl today. I'm baptizing her and Rachel today. That's a fulfillment of God's promise. I have done a lot of things wrong with my children. I have not loved them when they needed love. I have not paid them attention when they needed attention. I have disciplined them when they didn't deserve it. And I have not been as good of a father as I could be. But the only thing I ever did right was I showed them God and his word. Because that's what really matters. And they on their own, they were in a bathtub taking a bath together, and that's when they received salvation. We were not even in the room. All I could do was direct them to this right here, the word of God. That's what he means by saying, go and make disciples. We have led them, thank God they have received salvation. It's one of the most wonderful days of my life that I get to get up here and baptize my own children. Because I know people have struggled with their children being lost and maybe their children dying lost, and I can't imagine that. And I get to baptize my children. How wonderful is that? But guess what? Their journey doesn't end today. It's just starting. What are you going to do tomorrow? Because you know what we're going to do with them girls tomorrow? They have a week off school. It's wonderful. We're going to start pressing in with them. They're going to start praying more than they already do. We're going to start doing little Bible studies with them. We're going to start planning to do these things with them because it doesn't end with salvation. He said, go and make disciples of every nation. Disciples of every nation. That's why I'm fired up today. So am I going too fast? Am I doing okay? We're slow enough? Yeah, thank you. Right? Okay. Another example of pressing in that I want to give you today. Another example. I don't mean to embarrass my wife, but I'm going to. Another example of pressing in today is Sarah. So my lovely wife and Sarah and I, we have been coming here for about 15 years, if I count it up right. And I'm sorry, Nikki, this is just honest. So during praise and worship, I just kind of get squirrely. I just kind of like, okay, third song, and I'm like, well, what's going on? So with Sarah, for all these years, I've always like whispered to her. I'm like, hey, what's for lunch? Or like I'll give her a hug and be like, hey, you want to rub my shoulder or something? You know, rub my arms or rub my shoulders. Or I've always distracted Sarah, okay? If you sit behind us, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I can't imagine. You're just looking at us like, well, you guys shut up. It's true. I mean, honestly, it's just bad, okay? And it's embarrassing. It's just true. It's one of my faults, okay? I told you the sermon was as much for me as it was anybody else, all right? Well, in the last year, exactly about a year ago, I noticed something with Sarah. And she started reading her Bible more. I thought, oh, that's good. Good for her. Awesome. Then she started reading all these, like, Christian books. These, like, helpful, topical-based Christian books. You know, a bunch of them. We was getting Amazon packages. It's like, man, she's reading a lot of books. You know, good for her. This is good stuff. Hey. And then I know she started listening to Christian podcasts. Right? Keep listening to it. Music. Nothing but Christian music. Right? Well, what I noticed was a few months ago, I went to Distractor, you know, like third, fourth song. And she, you know, just kept, you know, eyes closed, hands raised. I'm like, what's going on? So I kind of, you know, did it again. And she gave me, you know, that wife look. Have you ever got that wife look where they're like, leave me alone? Okay. Well, this went on. This happened one Sunday, and then happened another Sunday, and it happened a third Sunday. And I'm like, this is odd. So I kind of got offended by it. I was like, why isn't he talking to me anymore? So the one Sunday, I walked out the doors. And when I got out into the fellowship hall, it dawned on me. She pressed in. She's on fire for God. She's ignoring you because God's more important at this time. I'm serious. And that's the way it should be. That's the way it should be. If Sarah decided that she wasn't going to follow Jesus anymore, you think I'm going to stop? No. And vice versa. She loves God more than she loves me. And that's the way that it has to be. When you press in and you're on fire for God, I'm happy about it. I'm not sad about it. It gave me great peace to go out there and be like, oh, Sarah's on fire, man. That's awesome. That's awesome. That's one example of pressing in. Because I guarantee you one thing. Nikki could get up here, and she could sing Christian rap. She could be up here freaking. And Sarah's still pressed in, man. Sarah's still on fire. Sarah's still worshiping God. She could get up here and sing hymns like we did this morning. Sarah's on fire for God. She doesn't care what song it is. Doesn't care if it's off beat. I could get up here and sing. And Sarah would still praise God. Amen? Yes. That's what I'm saying. That's what Preston looks like. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. And I know sometimes sermons like this that go in one ear and you say, yes, Preston. I'm telling you, if you guys have any desire at all to see your families change, like mine has, if you have any desire at all to see your workplace or your school or your community change, it's going to take this. It's going to take us doing this together. I've heard unity brought up a lot since I started here. I've heard unity mentioned. Unity, 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 unity. People bring up unity a lot. And it's great. Unity is a great thing. But sometimes I think we get a little confused on what unity really looks like. Pastor Chris and I disagree on a lot of things. We have completely different preaching styles. He is much more educated and expounds on the scripture than I do. I'm a storyteller. Complete different. Holy Spirit uses both of them. Great. Completely different. There are things that we disagree on. There's things I disagree on with the elders. There's policies and procedures and budgetary things and blah, 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 that we can disagree on. When our Kids Action Ministry, when the decision was made to move them from here to the barn, I voted no against it initially. But for various reasons, nothing spiritual, various reasons. But I never stopped being a CAM volunteer. because I'm a hypocrite? No. Because I just want to be in the know and I just want to help it? No, I don't want to do it. God calls me to do it. And it is my job to do what God calls me to do. I'm going to minister to those kids. If the elders came to me and said, hey, we're moving out to the woods, let's go. I'm going to go minister to them in the woods. You move them out in the parking lot in the snow. I'm going to go minister to those kids in the parking lot in the snow because those kids need Jesus. And it does not matter where it is at. It does not matter where it's at. It doesn't matter what place it is. My Sunday school class, we moved like 4 times. I never cared. I don't care where we go. We can go right here. We can go anywhere. My job is to do what God called me to do. Period. Period. Now, I'm going to tell you a secret about your pastor this morning. So y'all got to listen up because there's some secrets being told. Sarah told me to pause for effect on that one, so I went with that one. And I'm sure this applies to the elders, too. I don't know the elders as well, so I used Chris to kind of, you know, I know Chris better. Do you know that Chris wants to see the lost saved? Do you know that? He wants to see the sick healed. Do you believe that? That he really wants that? The captive set free? The broken restored? And that we cannot disagree on, because that's all in here. We can disagree on policy and procedures because many people in here disagree on policy and procedure. Right? You know how they picked the next disciple after Judas? They cast lots. You think the guy who came in second just gave up and stopped being a Christian? No. Policy and procedure are not what's going to effectively change the kingdom of heaven. There are people who woke up today on Easter morning. There's a pastor, I knew I was going to forget this, I didn't write it down. There's a pastor in a country in Africa. They can't have an Easter morning service today. You know why? They have to change their service time because he's been shot like 14 times. And they change their service times. So they can't have an Easter Sunday because he'd get killed or shot again. He's lived through all of them. So that's why I don't get too upset about changing of venues or policies or procedures. Because there are people who are suffering just to bring the word to who they're supposed to. If this is the most suffering I've got to go through, if I got to get up here and stand in front of all you guys, this isn't too bad. Right? Compared to that? Go ahead and turn your Bibles. We're going to go back here in Matthew. We're going to go to 22. Matthew 22. Matthew 22, 37 through 40. You all know this one too. Man, I knew I was going to cough today. Dang it. Excuse me. You got water. Thank you. The Bible says we are given 3 things. Wow. Wow. Do you not want me to say it? I won't say it. Don't just tell me not to say it. The Bible says we are given 3 things. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest is love. The greatest commandment is found in Matthew 22, 37 through 40. I'm going to get water before I read it. I'm sorry. Thank you, thank you. And he said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these commandments depend the whole law and prophets. Pressing in is putting God first. If you love something, if it really is very vital and important to you, people are going to know it about you after they meet you, right? People know I hunt. Most people within the first hour of meeting me are going to know that I hunt. I fish, you know, football, whatever. They're going to know about you. Are we putting God first? Or do we really love him with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our mind? And then do we really love our neighbor as ourselves? I mean, truly, that's a question for yourself today. As I talk about this pressing in, as I talk about what are you going to do tomorrow, this is really what you got to focus on. He made the commandment in Matthew 28 to go and make disciples. And he says, this is the greatest commandment, and that's to love the Lord your God and to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, I have an interesting story for this one. This one's funny. Sarah, I don't know if she knows about this one. So any of you know, in the next couple weeks, we're going to pick up some goats for the Allen County Fair. Ellie's old enough to take goats to the fair. And my wife is a 4-H educator, okay? So I have been surrounded by this fair deal, this fair thing for many years. And if any of you have ever been around me at the fair, I am very, very grumpy and very mean because I despise the fair. I hate it so much. You're camping, but you're not really camping. You're so close to the next person, you can hear them go to the bathroom. You can, there's people everywhere. The food's expensive, and it's really not that fantastic. And kids show animals that they can barely control. Okay, you know, you got this 9-year-old getting dragged by a cow. It's like, oh, good for him, you know. just kill him and eat him. I don't understand why we've got to show him first. I just think that's, like, cruel, isn't it? At least the animals I kill, I just shoot, and then they die. It's great. You know, it's not like, let's walk you around arena and then kill you, you know. Isn't that cruel, you know? I hate the fair. I offered Ellie, I forget what I told her, $5,000. I said, I'll give you $5,000 if you don't take anything to the fair. She turned me down, luckily. So it has come up in my life many times as we have camped, and I have been there, and I am like this the whole time. It's come up many times. I've had friends ask, I've had family ask, why do you do it? Why do you do it? Why don't you just let Sarah take care of it, and you don't do it? You know, if you want to help out, set the camper up, whatever, and then just don't go back. I've thought about it many times. And I always give some ho-hum answer. I've always given some, yeah, it's what you're supposed to do. It's what a husband does. It's, yeah, blah, blah, blah. You want to know the real answer? It's actually super spiritual. You want to know the real answer is? I love Sarah more than I hate the fair. That's the reality. I love those kids more than I despise my uncomfort. I don't want to be up here this morning. I don't enjoy this. I almost threw up back there, okay? Ask anyone talking to me. They can see I was nervous, okay? I don't enjoy. I've been teaching Sunday school for 6 months, and I have to take a breath every time I go up the stairs to go to Sunday school and say, it's going to be okay. Every Sunday. Because I love God more than I hate my uncomfort. I love God more than I don't like this. I love God more than my hatred of public speaking. It's taken a long time to get here. But if He is the Lord of your life, you will do the hard things because you love Him too much not to. That's the reality today. If we want unity, if we want to do what God commanded, if Jesus Christ in His final words commanded us to do, if you want to make an impact, if you want to make a difference today, it's going to start tomorrow. Today's a celebration. Today's exciting. Today is a day to celebrate your risen Savior. But if you go through the motions tomorrow, nothing will change. Not a thing will change, and this world will get worse. I guarantee it. It's a call to action for all of us. It's a call to action for all of us. The more you press in, the more the Holy Spirit will change you. Look at the disciples. What did we just read in 28? In Matthew 28, and I think it was 19. Some of them doubted. Some doubted. There's only 11 people standing there. They walked with Jesus Christ for 3 years, seeing Him perform every miracle. And now they're talking to a guy who hung on the cross and died, and 3 days later rose again, and 40 days later is still here before He ascends to His Father, and they still doubted. Some of you here today doubt. I know you do, because they did. And if they did, I'm sure we do sometimes, right? We doubt. We don't know what's coming. We get scared. We get sick. We worry about procedure and policy. We worry about what's going to happen next. We worry about numbers. We worry about so many things. Stop worrying. Press in. Get in the Bible. Pray like you've never prayed before. Because, listen, I am not a prophet. I don't have the gift of prophecy. But I think we all know that the world's going the wrong direction. And I think we all know something's happening. You can just feel it. You just know, right? But there's going to be a harvest. I've had more people talk to me in the last month about Jesus than I have in my entire life. At work and in different places. There is opportunity for every single one of you to affect people's lives. The disciples, look at them. When they got filled with the Holy Spirit, look at the change. When they pressed in and they truly focused in and they didn't look to the left and right and they didn't look at what this thing was or that thing was. I mean, you had the disciples during the transfiguration that are like, we got to make tents for you. I mean, how ignorant is that? You're standing before Jesus and Elijah and you're just like, let's make you some tents. But then later in life, look what happened. When their shadows passed by, people got healed. Church history teaches that 10 of them died terrible death. Well, 11, the new one too. But 10 of these guys, listen to this, died terrible martyr deaths. That's the change when you press in and you let the Holy Spirit lead, guide, and direct you. That's the change. You go from being afraid of public speaking to being willing to die for your Lord. That's the change. When we get on fire for God, we stop going through the motions, we stop worrying about the stuff. Not that we shouldn't debate the stuff. Not that you can't have conversations about the stuff. Not anything like that. You should. There's going to be disagreements. And that's okay. True unity does not lie there. True unity lies here. This is where unity is at. And if we become unified, if we become one body in this church, and other churches become one body, we will change the world. And win many souls over. Amen? Well, I got close to 8:30 as I'm going to get, so I hope Tim ain't mad at me. All righty, I'm going to bow your heads. We're going to pray for the breakfast, okay? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the message, Lord. Again, let it go forth. Let it go into people's hearts. Lead, guide, and direct them, Lord, on how we can press into you, keep you the focus of our lives, and just love you, Lord. Let you be the first thing in our life. Let us love you with all of our mind, soul, strength, and heart. And with that, we will love our neighbors as ourselves. Lord, help us to wake up tomorrow and to focus again on you and Tuesday and Wednesday and next week and next month and next year. Let us grow in you and let us become the people that you created us to be. Lord, I ask that you bless this food. Bless the wonderful hands that prepared it, the volunteers that got here so early, Lord. I ask that you bless every one of them. And Lord, let us have fellowship. And let it not be all idle chatter. Let it be discussions on how we can press in together and how we can be unified in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Is there any order?